that your holy word may penetrate our stubborn hearts, that it may change us and make us what we should be for your glory. We pray that you will use the word to work on us and make us better, to encourage us, to cheer us, to make us serious about life and death, to make us better people, better men and women, who can be better used in your service. Amen. Today we're reading from Psalm 75 in the Pew Bible. It's page 310. Psalm 75. We're thinking about the subject of the cup of God's wrath this morning. Let us hear the Word of God from Psalm 75. To the chief musician set to Do Not Destroy, a psalm of Asaph, a song. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly, Selah. I said to the boastful, Do not kneel boastfully, and to the wicked, Do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts one down and exalts another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. And thus we end the reading of God's holy word. When we read a story or watch a movie, we have an instinctive desire that justice prevail. We have an instinctive desire that the good guys win in the end and the bad guys are caught and pay for their deeds, their dirty deeds. We like for the story to end up the way it should. We instinctively think that way because God has put within our hearts a sense of right and wrong. And even in real life, we have the same desire and we feel very badly when we see a hardworking person lose his job, for example, which is happening a lot these days. We do have a sense of justice which God has put within us. And yet in the Church of Jesus Christ in these days, I'm afraid we have come to the point where we want to hear only the positive. And we had a visitor, by the way, that reminds me, we had a visitor some years ago who, after the service was over, who said, Ah, I heard the S word, sin. I heard you talk about sin. Because that word is not spoken as much in the church today as it was in the past. And so when we come to the justice of God, we want to see the person who is honest and hardworking to be rewarded, but we forget the other side of God's justice, and that is the wicked will be punished. There are many people who would like to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and His salvation. They would like to hear, and they need to hear that, and that God loves His people and God draws His people to Himself and He saves people. We need to hear that. But it really doesn't mean what it should mean to us unless we realize from what it is that He saves us. He saves us from damnation. Christ saves His people from being judged and damned forever. Now, this psalm's message is not easy to take to the modern ear. This psalm's message is that God is just, and He will bring His justice to bear in this world. You will notice in the introductory words of the psalm to the chief musician, and that psalm was given to the chief musician and used in the singing of God's people in the Old Testament period and used in the singing of God's people today, because psalms were written to be sung, of course. Set to do not destroy may indicate the name of a tune. Some of these terms are very difficult to understand for us because some of them contain words that are only used once. And when you're studying a language and it has words that are only used once, it's difficult to ascertain their meaning. So that's why in some translations it says set to do not destroy, and sometimes it just transliterates the Hebrew letters because we don't know for sure what some of these terms mean. So that could be a tune. The Psalm of Asaph, and he was a chief musician in the time of David. In this psalm, he is predicting. He's looking forward to the future, as he was in the last psalm. And it says then, a song, and it is a synonym for psalm, and we don't know how to distinguish the two, really. Psalm 75 might be an answer to Psalm 74. In Psalm 74, the psalmist is crying out to the Lord because the temple has been destroyed. And as we know, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in 587 or 586 B.C. when the Babylonians came and destroyed the city. And we saw that in the previous psalm. And in this psalm, then, we find kind of an answer to that in God saying that He will judge the wicked. He will judge those who do not repent and continue to follow their own ways. And some of those wicked were the Babylonians who destroyed Jerusalem and His temple. And this psalm assures God's people that there is that justice and that this will happen. And spiritually speaking, then, the psalm is also saying that those who refuse to repent and believe in God's Messiah, Jesus Christ, will be judged as well. In Psalm 75, we are told in verse 8, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is fully mixed." There was a mixture of deadening drugs given to people who were to be executed in ancient times. And so this is a figure for, it is figuratively saying that God would give the cup of wrath to all those who refuse to believe in His Son. Like I said, it's not a pretty message. Psalm 7:11 provides a summary of the meaning of this psalm. Psalm 7:11 says, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7:11. God is a just judge and God is angry with the wicked every day. So I invite you to consider with me today this topic of the cup of God's wrath. There are four divisions to the psalm we're going to look at, and they're in your bulletin on the right-hand page at the bottom. First, God's authority over the cup of wrath. Secondly, God's warning concerning the cup of wrath. Thirdly, God pours out the cup of wrath. And fourthly, the people praise God in light of the cup of wrath. God's authority over the cup of wrath is first. Let's look in verses 6 and 7. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. In other words, this is in the complete control of Almighty God Himself. God set up Israel as a nation. He exalted Saul and David and the others as kings. He brought up the Babylonian army to destroy Jerusalem and the temple. But he would later also put Babylon down. They would fall as well. And this was all as a result of God pouring out His cup of wrath. First of all, on His people, because they continued to disobey Him. After many warnings, after prophet had come to the people of Israel and warned them that the city of Jerusalem would fall if they didn't repent, God finally said, "That's enough. I've sent the last prophet. The city's going to fall." This was all determined by God and His cup of wrath. And spiritually speaking to us today, as God spoke spiritually to Israel, He's telling us there is a time, there is a point at which there'll be no turning back. Every human being is a sinner, and every human being deserves to drink the cup of God's wrath. It's a sober warning, isn't it? God is the judge. Every human being will have to answer to Him. He has the authority. Secondly, God gives a warning regarding the cup of wrath. Look in verse 4. I said to the boastful, "Do not deal boastfully." Then he goes on in verse 4, "To the wicked, do not lift up the horn." In verse 5, "Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck." The horn is a symbol of strength. He says to the wicked, don't abuse your power. You have a lot of power, that comes from me, God says. Don't abuse it. He tells the wicked in general not to use their God-given abilities and talents to harm and oppress other people and to disobey Him. The human being is the greatest of God's creations. We are above the animals. And although that should be obvious to us, it's not obvious to some people. We are created in the image of God. God says, don't abuse that. Do not speak with a stiff neck. Do not speak with insolent pride. Don't be boastful. Don't disobey me. And if the warning is heeded, and if we repent and trust His Son, we do not have to taste that cup of wrath. There are many warnings in life. A few months back, we had one of those terrible rainstorms. And you may remember that there was, I saw this on the news, you may have seen it. There was a man on the Bronx River Parkway who nearly drowned. And I saw a television shot of him being rescued from his pickup truck. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, this happens a lot whenever we get the floods. And Bronx River Parkway is one of the first ones to flood, as we know. And what I later learned as I listened further was he had gone around a sign that said road closed. There was a warning telling this man. He had defied that warning and he almost lost his life. He was barely rescued from the floodwaters, from the Bronx River. And we're constantly doing things like this. What does the doctor say to us? As you know, I've seen many doctors in the last 5 years. And every time I see a new one, and I've seen a lot of new ones, every time I see a new one, there are two questions they start with. Do you smoke? Do you drink alcohol? That's the first two things they ask a heart patient, and probably everybody else too. Don't do it. There's the warning, right? There's the warning. The Bible has many warnings in it, like this one right here in Psalm 75. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. And yet we do. We get to feeling pretty good about ourselves when things are going well. God warns us, be careful. You know, sometimes we think we're very vulnerable when we're down, when we're discouraged, when we're even depressed. We're very vulnerable. That's true. But I tell you something else. We're also very vulnerable when things are going really well. Because when things are going really well, we get overconfident. And we can begin to think that we don't need the Lord. Why do I need to pray? Things are going mighty well right now. And it may be even a subconscious thing. Do you listen? Do you listen to the warnings that are given to you? Your life will be better if you do. Thirdly, God pours out the cup of wrath. This is not easy to take. This is only for the brave. As they say with some television messages, you may want to turn your head for the next few minutes. You may want to put filters in your ears, or you may want to listen carefully for the third point, okay? God pours out this cup of wrath. In contradiction to what many preachers... Let me put that a different way. In addition to what many preachers are saying today, I want to say this. God will. He has and He will pour out His cup of wrath. In verse 2, he says, when I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. I know people who think they know the proper time. I know people who even are proclaiming a time. God says, when I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. He chooses it and no one else. When that time comes, you will know, as far as the east is from the west, everyone in the world will know. Don't worry. It won't be only the people in the city of Jerusalem who know. It won't be only the people in the nation of Israel who know. It won't only be those in the Middle East who know, or Europe, or the East. Every eye shall see Him. and God will choose the proper time, and He will judge uprightly. That is, He will condemn the wicked who have not repented, and He will exalt the righteous who are made righteous through Jesus Christ. In verse 3, he continues, "The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved, and I set up its pillars firmly." When God's judgment comes, He can destroy everything with the breath of His mouth. No problem. No problem at all. But, he says in the end of verse 3, "I set up its pillars firmly." He first of all established the earth. He surely can destroy it whenever He's pleased to do so. And then look at verse 8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is fully mixed, and He pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. That's a figurative way of saying God will punish the wicked. Verse 10, "All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off. I will strip all their power." After Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, another nation was used by God to destroy Babylon. And then at the end of verse 10, "But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted." Those who are made righteous by Jesus Christ. Now this is similar to what the New Testament tells us. When Jesus comes back to earth, we are told in Matthew 25 that He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. So that's why we know, don't worry about when Jesus comes, you'll know. You'll be either on His right or on His left. And I hope to God that we're all on His right. We have to ask the question, am I a sheep or am I a goat? And if I'm not a goat, I want to be a sheep. I want to repent. I want God to have mercy on me and allow me to repent and trust in His Son Jesus and be a sheep with the Lord Jesus as my good shepherd. And if by grace we are sheep, then are we seeking improvement? I hope we are. I hope we're saying, Jesus, lead me on to greener pastures. Lord Jesus, make me a better sheep. Get me ready for Your coming, Lord. I'm Your sheep. God will indeed pour out this cup of wrath. Fourthly and finally, there is praise to God in light of the cup of wrath. Verse 1 says, "We give thanks to You, O God. We give thanks for Your wondrous works declare that Your name is near. We give thanks to the Lord because He has a cup of wrath, because He is a just God, because He will judge uprightly and righteously. We praise Him because there is truth in this world. There is justice in this world. And it will be known." How many times have you seen a friend of yours or an acquaintance of yours be mistreated, be the victim of injustice, be fired for no reason at all, be denied a promotion when someone who is a sneaking jerk gets that job? We praise our God because He's just. And that's why Asaph praises Him. You see, sometimes this says, your wondrous works declare that your name is near. Sometimes it seems that He's not near when we see all these injustices taking place. Sometimes we think He's not near. But then we think of the instances in which we see Him working, and we think of His holy word which assures us, and we know that He is near us. In fact, Jeremiah 23:23 says, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide Himself in secret places so I shall not see Him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" Jeremiah 23:23. Not only is He near, but we can't escape Him. As a matter of fact, we cannot escape Him. So you might be down in spirit, and you might be discouraged because of the way things look around you. And a lot of people are thinking that now. Not only Christians, but non-Christians are thinking that now with the economy the way it is. God is not asleep. God is not far away. In verse 9, the psalmist says, "I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob." We praise Him. We thank Him that there is justice. We see injustice every day at work. We see it in school. We see it in politics. We see it in national and international politics. We see it in the family. We see it in the church. It's everywhere there's a sinner. And there are sinners everywhere. The wicked who refuse to repent will drink the cup of God's wrath. Maltby Babcock wrote these words in 1901. "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one." And so we can't leave the subject without being reminded that the cup of God's wrath also takes us right to Jesus Christ Himself. For He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Oh my Father," as He prayed, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will," Jesus prayed. In John 18:10-11, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" John 18:10-11. He went on to drink it. He drank it on the cross. He drank it for all His people. The cup of God's wrath. And so the Lord has brought us in this psalm face to face with this marvelous, mind-boggling, mind-blowing truth. Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath. And you who believe in Him and you who've repented of your sins don't have to drink it. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Are you a part of that us? Became sin for us? Are you part of that us? Has the Holy Spirit touched you so that you repented and trusted in Jesus as your substitute? Are you part of that us? Then rejoice. Rejoice in God's grace. And hear and study the Word and learn of Jesus more and more every day. And get closer to Him and glorify Him more fully until He takes you home. But if your answer is no, or I don't know, I don't know if I'm part of that us, if you've not been made righteous, if you've not been led by the Spirit to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, then you're not a part of that us. Ask God for His mercy, because I must sadly say, if you're not part of that us, you will drink the cup of God's wrath. In John 3:36, we read, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." John 3:36. So Psalm 75 is teaching us that justice will come forth from the Lord. Arrogant and wicked Babylon will drink the cup of God's wrath, and the wicked in general will drink the cup of God's wrath. The Lord says, "All the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted." Thus saith the Lord. Let us pray.